is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. Want to get an update on Blue Zones Project Umpqua, Jessica Hand in studio. Thanks for coming in today.
Nice to be back, Kyle. Thanks.
So, you guys have gone through, and this is like the most common term these days for, but this really had a different purpose when it all started, another phase of Blue Zones. Tell us about kind of the transition.
Yeah, so phase two for us actually marks the beginning of another 3 years in the community. So Blue Zones Project started back in April 2017. It seems like the time flew by, and we are excited to see that we've had tremendous progress and results that our community was really proud of achieving in the first phase. And because of that, our local funders and our steering committee has committed to another 3 years of this being a project here locally for our community to take part in.
Now, your first 3 years of funding really came through more national sources, right?
That's right. Actually, Oregon-based. So our leadership funding actually came from Cambia Health Foundation for the first 3 years, as well as local funders here in the Umpqua Valley. So for this second phase for us, it's actually completely community-driven and funded by local community partners, CHI Mercy, Cow Creek, Douglas ESD, Umpqua Health Alliance, Ford Family Foundation, Adapt and City of Roseburg are really the partners at the table to make this possible.
But still part of this bigger, larger Blue Zones thing that's happening around the country.
That's right. I think we're up to 50 communities now across the U.S. and one in Canada. So we're really thrilled to still be a part of that network. Also very excited just to see what we as a community have been able to achieve in just 3 years with a community our size. For some, really the big goal, right, is to reach certification, that you've reached these important milestones and markers, that you're showing a bend in the trend for community health outcomes. And for some of the cities and towns, it takes a little bit longer to do that, sometimes 5 years. When I was in the beach cities in California, for them it was really a long-term plan over 5 years to do that. We were able to get that work done here locally in three, which we're really proud of, and our community should be really proud of that too.
And to have the support locally to continue on with this, because really, as I kind of recall at the beginning of this, it was, well, this may be just a three-year concept and program, and it was kind of unknown what would happen after that.
That's right. So I think there's always this initial period of it's a pilot. Let's see how this goes, right, and see how it's embraced by our community and the residents. And I think what really surpassed our expectations to see how many folks got involved, you know, over 7,000 residents actually participating in one of the Blue Zones Project programs or initiatives, close to 500 joining a 10-week MOAI, a group that gets together for a positive purpose, whether that's walking, eating healthy, talking about their purpose. So we were just blown away by how quickly we reached that benchmark really early on in the project.
And for some people that have gotten into these different things, I know I've talked to some folks who joined one of the MOAI groups, did some walking for however many months with folks, and is that as they moved on from there, while they didn't stay doing that forever, that just made a change in them, and in terms of now they're doing it with family members and a chance to sort of, and especially given all the things that are going on right now, a chance to be outdoors and get exercise. And it's a concept that has continued for them. And that was kind of a new thing, the idea of going out walking.
Absolutely. And it's even fun to see the MOAIs that have continued on. So there's been some of the teams, I think over 70 teams or MOAIs that have gotten together. And some of those continue to meet to this very day. For us, it's been really fun to see the stories that have come back from these programs. So we've heard about the elderly that started to get involved with a MOAI. And that really made a difference for them to have new friendships and a way to kind of come out of social isolation and loneliness during this tricky time during our health crisis.
And that was one of the things about Blue Zones that struck me back at the beginning when it was kind of getting explained to folks here, and you have the National Geographic guest, Dan Buettner, who came in and talked to folks at UCC and did some things with us here on the radio, was the idea that it wasn't just, you know, exercise, or it wasn't just a change in eating or whatever, because some of those ideas come from other places too. But the socialization part was something I'd never seen as part of what seemed like a much more holistic approach to what is, you know, better health.
That's right. It's so powerful because it's really nine lifestyle patterns that were seen in those original Blue Zones areas where people were living such long, thriving lives to age 100 and beyond. And so you don't really think about some of these other elements of well-being that often, like family first. For me, that was a big one coming into the project. I have a public health background. You kind of hear over and over what we should be doing to be healthy and well. But for me, kind of working for the project, it helped me to actually internalize, hey, I need to put my family first. And hey, I want to take a look at my purpose. What gives my life meaning and how I give back to the community. So there's really something for everyone. And the nice thing about those lifestyle behaviors is really anybody can do it, no matter where you're at. I think there's things that we can all make small steps towards.
Now, you have talked about the local funders, and one of the things, and a lot of those coming from the medical community, obviously, a lot of work goes on into recruiting new folks to the area, especially from the medical side, with the increasing need for varying specialties and just with the demographics of the population in this county. Knowing that something like this is going on around here, does that get noted by people that are thinking of moving here?
It really has been. That was something that was exciting for us to hear from Mercy and Aviva, is actually when they were recruiting providers and also residents for the new family residency program. That was something that actually excited the candidates, hearing that this was a community, a demonstration community for Blue Zones Project, because they hear about it in their lifestyle medicine classes, if they have those, and their practice and training. It's become this nationally recognized source of proven community well-being improvement across the country. So we're really thrilled that we get to do that here locally and that our funders continue to make that possible.
Now, with the local funders, but you're still called Blue Zones, that doesn't change. Is anything else kind of change?
Yeah, so we're still Blue Zones Project. Nice, again, to have that umbrella term for the work that we've been putting down the foundation for the last 3 years. And we get to remain a part of that larger network of communities doing that across the U.S., using the same tools and resources that we've been using with businesses and organizations, and also in our individual well-being programs in the community. We've had some exciting changes within our staff structure. So we have some new titles that we've taken on with the team of the three of us. So Juliet Palinchis, who served as our engagement lead for phase one, is now our community engagement director starting next week. And that's really just to speak to the level of responsibility that she has with all of our well-being programs out in the community, and how she's going to help work with our partners to increase access to health services and well-being initiatives, especially for those that might have some barriers there and might be a little bit underserved, to make sure we're reaching those individuals' needs. John Demoff, who is our organization lead, is now our strategic partnership director. So John has worked very closely with the organizations in our community, from work sites to restaurants and grocery. But there's been a lot of demand from work sites, really interest in how to build employee well-being programs right now. And so John works hand in hand with our large and small employers on how to create those. I've taken the role of executive director. I'm still working on overseeing the team and on the policy fronts that we work on in the community, like food systems and environment, built environment, which is infrastructure around walking and biking safely, active transportation in our community, and tobacco. I will also be, kind of a new focus for me, will be working with our partners in the network of care, which we'll talk more about, on a unified community health assessment. So we'll have a single one for our area, and then a unified community health improvement plan that Blue Zones Project will play a role with.
Now, under this network of care, it seems like you do have the opportunity there to work on these bigger ideas together instead of everybody kind of working on their own thing.
That's exactly right. So that's really the mission and vision for Network of Care. They was established 2 years ago by really six founding partners in our community, all of which sit on the steering committee for Blue Zones as well. So it was established by, you know, CHI Mercy, Evergreen Family Medicine, Aviva, the Public Health Network, and the Tribe, and Douglas ESD. And so they really said, hey, we all have, for most of us, we have this requirement to do community health assessments every few years. We're all doing our own. Why don't we get together, pool resources, and just do one for the area, so that we can put a lot of energy and resources behind the action program and action plan we want for this area, so we really see unified movement improvement.
And then kind of identifying all those things together and just how you want to frame it and how you want to use the data.
That's right. So the nice thing about the Network of Care, it's also an online platform where the data sources from each of these clinical and education partners can actually be housed in one place. So that makes it really easy to see how we're moving the needle in health and well-being, but also for patients and community members to access resources in one place, in one portal that they can sign up for. That's also personalized based on their interests.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Jessica Hand from Blue Zones, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, and Lars Larson coming up at 1. Jessica Hand, now Executive Director of Blue Zones Project Umpqua, here to give an update going into sort of phase two of their work. Some changes. Now, you guys have maintained an office in downtown Roseburg on Jackson. Is that still in place?
It is for the time being. We're looking at other opportunities for where our office could be. We'd love to stay downtown if possible, but we'll be at that Jackson Street location for sure through mid-September. So folks can still find us there, usually by appointment these days, or you can always call and find us on Facebook too. The phone number for Blue Zones is 541-816-1726.
Now, obviously, like a lot of other things, you've really had to adapt a lot of how you're trying to engage with the community over the last 4 months.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Everyone right now thinking on our feet and thinking about how we deliver programs a little bit differently, especially for folks that are feeling especially isolated right now and cut off. So we've kind of retooled our strategy. We're offering a lot more things virtually, whether that's webinar based or through our Facebook page. We've also shifted our focus to do more, well, not shifted, actually just increased our level of energy and activity with food security issues right now. So we're working actually very closely with Aviva Health on a food box program for people that are facing food insecurity because of COVID. They can actually sign up for these free produce boxes that they can pick up every 2 weeks at the Aviva clinics throughout the county, which is really exciting. And we're providing seasonal recipes, healthy cooking tips for those with the family medicine residents.
And with families where you have more folks home, now schools in most cases have been offering different resources, but not everybody can access those. And some of that, you don't get some of the fresh things. You get things that are ready for you to eat immediately. Mm-hmm. But given people's also financial issues in some cases these times, if folks have been, one or two people in the family have been laid off and things like that, this has got to be a big help.
Absolutely. And that also really goes in nicely with a program we're doing called Veggie RX, where actually providers at Evergreen, Aviva, South River are writing prescriptions for patients that they can then take to the farmers market or the downtown market in downtown Roseburg to get fresh fruits and vegetables for free using those vouchers. So we're really proud to see that program run again for the third year now.
Now, you were talking about future surveys and under the Network of Care, some things that have gone on. What about other data you've been able to gather already?
Yeah, it's been remarkable to see what changes we've had in our population health just over the last 3 years. So we did a survey called the Community Well-Being Index that was administered by Boston University School of Public Health and originally Gallup. And what was exciting to see is that we've actually maintained steady or improved in 16 of the 20 key metrics we were looking at that were really important here for community health. And so that's very good news for us, especially when nationally we're seeing declines in well-being overall. So to hold steady or improve in light of the current climate in our country, we're very proud of for Douglas County. We also noticed a difference between people, and again, remember, this is a random survey. This is not just going to people who are participating in Blue Zones Project. Went out to everyone. But what we noticed was there was a stark difference between those that are engaged with Blue Zones Project and those who were not. So those engaged engaged and participating actively had 3 points higher well-being score than those who did not. Those participating have higher levels of physical activity, they're eating healthier, and they have a stronger sense of purpose in their daily lives than those who did not.
Wow. And, you know, when you can look at that and see that you've done that much in just a short amount of time, then you think about what the long-term shift could end up like.
That's right. And we know for us, this is really the long game. Like this project is just laying a foundation for years to come. This is a generational project. It's not going to change everything overnight. So it's really nice to have that local leadership support and investment to keep it going. We were actually also excited to see that our local area outperformed the state of Oregon in terms of health risks in nutrition, physical activity, and some of the other elements related to obesity and high cholesterol. So that was nice to see. And we're kind of raising the bar in terms of health and well-being across the state.
And it's got to be challenging for people right now. I mean, obviously, summertime, you've got, you know, one of the warmest weeks of the year that we're just getting into now, and it's going to be pushing 100 here in a few days and things like that. A lot of opportunities to be outdoors, even with all the sort of the framework of doing things. But at the same time, with people that have been home a lot, especially during weather that was not as good, I know for a lot of folks, getting out there and getting some of that exercise in was more of a challenge.
Yeah, it has been. You know, it's been interesting, though, to see the bikes have been flying off the shelves locally. I don't know if you guys have covered this as a story, not just locally, but across the nation. Stores are sold out. There's been this renewed interest in getting outdoors with the family and the kids, like you mentioned. And so we're finding ways to help promote our local multi-use path, the trails that are available, ways to get kids riding that maybe didn't learn how to ride safely before through some of our efforts with Safe Routes to School and Douglas ESD. So that's been a really exciting trend to see here. And there's other programs now that we're able to offer virtually and that OSU Extension and OHSU are working on called Walk with Ease, which is a program that actually launches tomorrow. It's a virtual class, free for anybody, and it'll go for the next 6 weeks. So every Thursday, there's a meeting. You can get together, meet others that are maybe just trying to get active again, might have some chronic pain issues going on. And so this is really a program designed to help people get out moving that haven't done so in a while.
And so how do people access that?
So you can sign on the OSU Extension, Oregon State University Extension's website, or you can call a number that we've actually posted to our Facebook page, and I'll also give to you all right now. And that number is 503-494-1519. Again, 503-494-1519. And that's to register directly with the coordinator, so you get all the emails and the program information.
And that would give folks an opportunity who maybe are staying socially distant but wanting to get out
exactly.
And do some of this, but
yeah.
To still get the connection part of, you know, whether it's accountability or just encouragement from others that are trying to have the same goals.
That's exactly right. And it's nice to have a program designed for people, especially going through some barriers to being active, right? So starting kind of at their baseline, what they're able to do with their current pain levels, and hopefully seeing that improve by adding small amounts of activity over time.
On some of the data that you've looked at so far, when you talk to people in the area, what's their thought about the Blue Zones impact, just in terms of what they think how the Blue Zones has done?
Yeah, that's actually been something we measured on that survey as well. We set some goals for ourselves, like how many people would be aware of the project in the first 2 years, how many people actually feel it's had an impact on them personally over the community. And we actually exceeded that benchmark too. So over half of the residents knew about Blue Zones Project 2 years in, over half of the residents surveyed, and over 35% felt that it personally made an impact on the community. Over 40% felt it made an impact on them in their individual lives.
Now, I know you're working on a food hub feasibility study.
Yeah, so as we're going through COVID right now and wrapping up some of the important milestones we need for community certification, one of the policy areas we're working on within food is a food hub feasibility study. And this is being done in conjunction with NeighborWorks Umpqua, Ford Family Foundation, the partnership, and OSU Extension. And what it is studying how we can help our local farmers and producers be able to scale up and grow additional food locally and be able to distribute that more widely. So this is an exciting area we've been wanting to work on for a while, because it would actually build infrastructure locally to help the economic issues some of those farmers and producers are facing, so that they're able to further expand. So we're about halfway into the study now. We've been interviewing a lot of buyers, the hospital, the VA, the schools, to see what the interest is to have more local, fresh, healthy food being purchased and served.
Just about out of time. Jessica Hand, now Executive Director of Blue Zones Project Umpqua. If people want to connect with all the things that are going on, tell them all the ways they can get connected to Blue Zones.
Yeah, so we're obviously in the middle of the transition right now, which is very exciting. You'll see more with our relationship and our new home under Network of Care. But for the meantime, you can always reach out through email to jhand@efmpc.com or give us a call at 541-816-1726.
And then on your Facebook page as well.
Our Facebook always, yeah. So there was lots of program information, upcoming events there.
All right, Jessica Hand, Blue Zones Project Umpqua, giving us an update. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.